Okay, good morning, church. Today, I am going to speak about hope. So, the past couple of weeks, Pastor Corey has been in a sermon series called Flickering Lights, where he has talked about the three P's. I don't know if he did the three P's on purpose to be like a Baptist thing, but he's talked about the purpose of God, the plan of God, and the presence of God. And out of the past 3 weeks and the purpose, the plan, and the presence, I don't think he meant for it, but leaving from church, I feel this sense of hope, right? And I feel like it's been in the message, it's been in what Pine Drive has been doing in the community, right? We did the snack meals, we're doing the Samaritan's, or Christmas operation, my bad, wrong name. We went yesterday to the park in Baycliff. So there's just a lot of things that are going on that are all carrying the same message. And then when I was praying about what I was going to talk today and what I thought my sermon should be about or what I was hearing from God, our small group just happened to be going through Romans. And in Romans, there's a lot of instances where they talk about hope. And they told me when I talked to them before I came up here 2 weeks ago and I said that I felt a call to ministry and I wanted to be able to speak and just serve people and show them the love of God. They told me that there can be a hard part of that and that whenever you're going to talk about something, you're going to be tested on it. I've heard my whole life, don't pray for patience because you're going to be tested on it. So I was like, okay, I'll pick hope, right? It's not hard to lose hope, right? We can keep hope. And it's been a fun week. There's been a lot of things going on. But whenever you are in the Word and you prioritize unity, and this is small groups, this is a testimony to that, when you are able to be friends with other Christians and you're able to show up and talk to other people and you can identify, hey, this is the devil trying to ruin you. This is the devil trying to take your hope, trying to take your joy. There's something so freeing in that. And so that's a really quick testimony just to small groups. I got to go to a couple small groups this week. And it was cool to identify, like, hey, I know I'm talking about hope and I know I'm being tested over it. So I don't need y'all to tell me what I'm being tested over, but I just need you to pray with me for it. So that was a really cool thing this week. And then, yeah, yesterday was awesome. Our goal for Pine Drive was to do 10 meals is what he said when we first threw the idea out there. And we easily had 25. I think a couple people dropped some off late, so we had more than that. But we fed 25 families for Thanksgiving. So that's a big message of hope. Oh, my clicker's here. I lost it already. Okay, so we're talking about Romans. And in Romans 5, 3 through 5, I'll let you open to it since the words are small. But I'm going to read it. It says, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. So if we look at the first half of that, there's kind of like a chain, right? It starts with sufferings. Our suffering produces endurance. We talked about endurance whenever we were talking about the purpose of a church, right? You will have times where you have to endure, but the purpose of a church is not to endure, right? Endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And I would say that the purpose of the church is to provide hope to people who are lost, to people who don't have hope, to spread the gospel. So if we look at this chain, suffering to endurance, endurance to character, and character to hope, the word hope can be confusing. And I think I knew I was going to talk about hope. I didn't know I was going to talk about character until I started writing down my notes. But if you look at today, and you look at character today, and when you meet people, when you're in society, and you see people's character, and then you think about it 30 years ago. I don't know, I wasn't alive 30 years ago. But if you think about character now versus character what it was 30 years ago versus character what it was 100 years ago versus character what it was in the Bible, the character has changed. I think we can all agree that the character is different now than what it was in the Bible. We're still struggling with the same things, but overall character has changed. And if character changes in this chain, then that means your hope changes in this chain, right? If we start identifying character as something else, then your hope turns into something else, Right? So there's two definitions of hope. I didn't tell Corey I was going to do this. But I picked a Greek word because Corey loves Greek. He's a nerd. And then I went to today's definition, and I don't recommend this, but there's something called the Urban Dictionary, and I looked up hope. And that is bad. You should not look it up. But we're going to start with today's definition. I put it flip-flop. But today's definition of hope, the feeling that something desired may happen. That's a fairy tale feeling, right? It's unicorns, it's glitter, it's rainbow. That's just a fairy tale-like feeling. And now the biblical definition of hope is not a feeling that something desired may happen, but it's a confident expectation. It's a certain anticipation. I know. So if we trade out I hope and turn it into I know, that changes everything, right? Our character that produces hope, it's not, oh, I have good character, so I hope something good will happen to me, right? I've gone through these sufferings, these tests, I've produced endurance, my endurance has produced character, and so after all of that, after all that hard stuff, I just hope, I wish something good happens, right? No, whenever we take the definition of hope, what they were talking about in the Bible, it wasn't a fairy tale feeling, right? It wasn't, I've done the work, God has changed my life, and now maybe something I desire will happen, right? So those are the two definitions. Now we are going to apply it. We are going to go to a couple of scriptures, and we're going to change the words. Now, don't be mad at me because I'm not changing the words, but just a little bit. So first one, I want you to go to Psalm 119, 114. Psalm 119, 114. Here we are. That I like clicked. Okay, cool. And I try to put them in order so you can just keep flipping back. Anyways, 114, it says, you are my hiding place and my shield. I'm going to stop right there. That's part one. My shield. If I'm carrying a shield into battle, if I'm fighting someone and I'm going to take a shield, I would rather have full confidence in my shield than a fairy tale-like feeling that my shield might work. It also might not work, right? So we haven't even gotten to hope. But if we think about our shield, right? God is our shield. You are my hiding place and my shield. I don't want to hope in my shield, right? I want to have confidence in my shield. And that's what it's talking about. And then the part we're actually going to change. I hope in your word. That does not say I have a fairy tale like feeling that your word might be good enough for me. No, I have confidence in your word. I know the Bible is from you. I know the Bible is all I need, and I have confidence that it is good enough for me. It is good enough for my problems. It is good enough for you. It is good enough for your problems. And that's what hope is, right? It's not, oh, it might happen. I have a fairy tale-like feeling that something desired may happen, right? No, I have confidence in it. Okay, next one, Lamentations 3:24. We're just going back. I got a sticky note. Look at that. 3:24, the Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I will hope in him. Therefore I will have a fairy tale like feeling. That just sounds silly, right? He is God. He is everywhere all the time, fully there. He's not standing next to you scrolling through his Facebook, right? He is fully there. He's right here. Corey got nerdy last time. He was like, he's even right here, right? Fully right here. He's everywhere, all the time, fully there, not on Facebook, not distracted. He's all in on you and he's all in on the person next to you. It just sounds silly to have a fairy tale-like feeling of a full God who is right here and knows everything that is going on. That's silly, right? I have confidence. 24, I lost it already. Therefore, I have confidence in him. I don't have a fairy tale feeling in him. Next one, Romans. Here we go. We're in Romans now. Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. So God has filled me. God has come into my life. He has taken care of me. He's taken care of the people around me. He has shown up when I need him. He's the same God. He shows up. And I'm just going to overflow that a fairy tale might happen. No, he shows up. He keeps showing up. And I have confidence. I am going to abound in confidence. Okay, so what does it mean to abound in hope? Okay, so we learned hope is confidence. Now, abound. I was talking with somebody in my small group, and I was like, what does abound mean? You know, I'm not the brightest light bulb. And so I was like, what does abound? What does it mean? And they said this. This is abound. Right? Okay, well, that didn't help. Let's Google it. Okay? What does abound mean? And the best words that I could find was overflowing. Right? And that's kind of this. We're overflowing. Right? So abounding in hope, that means we have an overflowing, confident expectation of victory. I am overflowing knowing what God has done in my life. I am overflowing knowing what God has done in other people's life. And I am confident He's going to do it again. I talked about how I wanted to talk about hope, and it became a stressful week, right? One of my friends, we were on our way to school, and he got in a car accident, and he's laying in the hospital right now. I am overflowing with confidence that God is going to work in his life, and God is going to work in his family's life. Whatever that looks like, I don't know. That's what we talked about, the plan, right? It is selfish of me to think I can sit down and think of a plan of how God is going to work in someone's life, how God is going to work in someone's community. That's selfish of me to think that I can sit down and I can figure that out. But what's not selfish is to be overflowing in confidence, knowing, hey, God's got me through this, God's got them through that, and I know God can have them through that. Right? So whenever we can identify, hey, this is the devil trying to take something from me, but I'm going to overflow with confidence because I know what happened to me. I know what happened to other people. That just overflows. Right? The evidence is in our fruits. We talked about this with purpose. Right? If we are just enduring and, oh, this is all God has for me. I'm going to come here a couple times a week. I'm going to go back home. Nobody's going to know. Right? The evidence of overflowing in confidence, you can see when somebody is walking around with confidence. Right? I taught self-defense at Premier. And we talk about how bad guys pick on easy targets, right? People walk around, and if your head's in your phone, you're listening to music, you're not aware of your surroundings, you're already more likely to be a target, right? That's self-defense. Right here, the evidence is in your fruit. If I'm overflowing with confidence of God's plan and God's purpose for my life, other people are going to see that. And whether they want to be a part of it or not, whether they want to believe or not, whether they have faith or not, they're going to see that confidence, and they're going to be like, where is that coming from, right? They're going to be like, I knew you in high school. I knew what you did wrong. Why are you this way, right? So we're overflowing in confidence, and when people see that, people want that, right? Why do people come to church? They want a family. They want to be a part of something. They want hope. And what is hope? Confidence. So there is hope in the purpose, the plan, and the presence of God in your life and at Pine Drive. Right? There is, let's just go one by one. Purpose. Right? We know God has called us to work in this community. There is a confident expectation of what we know God will do in this community. And then it just gets bigger, right? We talk about 517 in Dickinson. Well, we went to Baycliff yesterday, right? And now we're Galveston County. And then all of a sudden, we're Houston area. Oh, Harris County, whatever. And then we go to Texas, right? And what does that look like if it starts just one person or one church coming together, unifying, overflowing with confidence, and pouring that out into the community? The plan. Right? We talk about how it's selfish to come and sit down and think, okay, what is God's plan? I think God's plan is this. Right? No, that's selfish. Okay, I have confidence knowing that God has a plan. I do not have to figure it out. I do not have to know it. I just got to find where God is working and come alongside Him. That's the boxes. Right? God is working and we are just coming alongside Him. That was yesterday. God is working. I've been at Lighthouse Ministries 4 VBSs in a row now. We've got to teach at Lighthouse. God is working. We just get to come alongside them. The presence of God. This one's crazy. He talked about a book where somebody knowingly woke up every day and wanted to acknowledge that he was living in the presence of a God who is everywhere, all the time, fully present. There's confidence knowing that I don't care what you have to say to me. I don't care what you're going to say or do. I have an all-knowing, all-powerful God standing right next to me. That's confidence. So the three P's that we've been talking about, I wasn't planning on going into flickering lights. But those three things, that's all just a message of hope. And it's not the message of the fairy tale hope. It's not the message of something desired might happen to me, right? No, that's the message of confidence. And when we walk around with confidence knowing what God's going to do, and we walk around with confidence and we're able to identify what God is doing and what Satan is doing, that's a whole different life, right? That's something that I still struggle with. Jessica, the best. I'm walking around with hope. All of a sudden something happens and I just want to unplug, right? And she's like, well, have you been hearing from God? I'm like, no. She's like, well, have you been reading your Bible? I'm like, no. And she's like, well, how can you hear from God if you're not reading your Bible? Right? When we can walk around in confidence, right? I have confidence. God is in my life. I'm overflowing with confidence in God's plan and God's purpose. And I'm overflowing with confidence that God is standing right here next to me. And something happens, I'm not just going to drop my confidence. Right? I'm not just going to lose it all of a sudden because one thing. I'm not going to lose it because something that doesn't even matter is taking up space in my brain. Right? That's a different life when we can overflow with confidence. And it sounds easy. Well, it doesn't sound easy at all. But like, it's easy to think about. But even right now, how easy is it to walk around and not be confident? How easy is it to try to sit down and think of, how is God going to work in your life? Right? God can do that. He doesn't need me. Right? I just find that. I see that and I step in. And a lot of times I don't have to identify it. Something's going to tell me, hey, this is why you're here today. Hey, this is what you're doing. All I got to do is get in line. So what is the message of hope? The gospel, right? We know that. The message of hope is God sent his son to die for a bad person, for bad people. He did not send his son to die for perfect people who deserved a good life. So his son was going to die because all these people are so great and so perfect. No, he sent his son to die for bad people, for hooligans and knuckleheads. The message of hope, Romans 6:6-7. Go to Romans 6:6-7 right here. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. What does it sound like to be enslaved to sin? Slave to sin, slave to death, slave to evil, slave to wickedness. We are no longer enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Wasn't me. So, I'm no longer enslaved to sin. Somebody died for a bad person. Somebody died for me. So I can walk around with confidence knowing I don't have to be a slave to sin, death, evil, wickedness. And we keep going. We're in 6. We go all the way down to verse 18. It's up on my page. We say, and having been set free from sin, I'm no longer a slave to sin. I'm no longer a slave to death. I'm no longer a slave to evilness. I'm no longer a slave to wickedness. I have become a slave of righteousness. I'm a slave to goodness, a slave to integrity, a slave to honor. I don't know about you, but I think there's more confidence and there's more hope and being a slave to integrity and honor than there is to being a slave to sin and death. And I don't have to be a slave to righteousness. Old country pastor. I don't got to, I get to. Right? Nobody's telling me to be a slave to integrity and a slave to honor. But I am choosing that instead of being a slave to sin and death, I have seen God work in my life. I've seen God work in the people closest to me. I've seen God work in people I don't even know. And I have confidence that he's going to do it for me again. He's going to do it for my family again. He's going to do it for them again. And I get to be a slave to righteousness. I get to be a slave to integrity. I get to be a slave to honor. I don't got to. I don't know about you, but I take more confidence in being a slave to righteousness and integrity and honor. Just think about the other words, right? Sin, death, evil, wickedness. There's no confidence in that, right? That will fail you every single time. It will fail you. So, the hope for Pine Drive. Confidence in Pine Drive. The confidence that we have. There is a confident expectation in God's purpose for Pine Drive. Jeremiah 29:11. I feel like we all know this, right? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Right? For hope and a future. Let's change it again. For confidence and a future. For confidence in your future. Right? I didn't make that up. I just used the definition, the Greek one, not the Urban Dictionary one, not today's definition. Right? So whenever we're thinking about suffering produces endurance, produces character, produces hope, we need to think about that. What was he writing about? Not what does today take it and spin it into. Right? That's a big thing. Everybody wants to quote random parts of the Bible and say, this is what that means. But let's think about what they meant when they wrote it. Right? It applies all the time, but we want to make sure that it is saying what they're saying, right? I have confidence in my future. I have confidence, there's a confident expectation in God's purpose for Pine Drive. Things get hairy, right? There's like 17 ACs on this campus. Things get hairy. But there's a confident expectation knowing that Pine Drive is going to spread a message of hope, spread a message of confidence to the people next door. To the people on 517, to the people in Baycliff, right? There is a confident expectation. There is a confident expectation in God's plan for Pine Drive, right? Our purpose and our plan. We know what we're going to do, right? We're going to spread the message of confidence, spread the message of hope. If it's just me, if it's just Corey, he doesn't know how we're going to do it. I don't know how we're going to do it. Nobody knows how we're going to do it. And that's okay. Because we have a confident expectation in it, right? I don't have to think about it. I don't have to have a fairy tale like feeling that something desired may happen and that this church is going to grow and this church is going to be amazing. I don't have to have that. I know it. I know it's going to happen. I don't know what it looks like. But I know that suffering produces endurance. I think this church has some endurance. I know that endurance produces character. This church definitely has some characters. This church has some character. And I know that character produces hope, and hope is confidence. Right? So there's confidence in our purpose. We know what we're here to do. We're here to serve people. We're here to show people God's love. We are here to show people. We are here to make God's name famous, to glorify God. There is confidence knowing that Jeffrey doesn't have to think of anything, right? Good thing I don't get paid for thinking. I don't have to think. Right? There's confidence knowing that God's going to do it, and all we have to do is say yes and amen, and we get in line, and we just fan the flame. Last week's title. I don't know if that's how you fan a flame, but I don't think so. There is a confident expectation in knowing the presence of God is in our church, and it is in our lives. It is on the pencil's eraser. There's a confident expectation that when I walk around at church, when I walk around at home, when I walk around in the store, when I walk around in the craziest places, that I have God. Not distracted God on Facebook. I just deleted Facebook, so it's been tough, and this has just been coming up. Not distracted God on Facebook, right? But I have God fully present in my life. When I ask him something, he doesn't have to think about it and then respond. When I ask him something, he is there. He's ready to go. He's ready to work. Right? I have confidence in that. Jeremiah 29:11. I have plans for a future, plans for a hope, and I know that he is right here, and he's all I need. It's all I need. 2 Timothy 1:7. God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. I know that God is right next to me, right? The presence of God is right here. I don't have to be in a spirit of fear, right? Power, love, sound mind. Let's add one. I just love changing things today, apparently. Confidence, right? I don't have to be scared. Fear, scared. I get confidence instead. We are called to be confident in God. And we are called to be so confident in God that other people see our confidence in God and we get to tell them about it. I don't have to ask every person, do you know God? I can. That's not a bad thing. But if I am overflowing with confidence, people come up to me. What's wrong with you? Right? These crazy things are happening and you don't care. Or you do care. You just have confidence. You know that God is working in your life. You know that God is working in the people around you. You know that God is going to work in that random stranger over there. You don't know the plan, but you know the purpose. And you have confidence in it. We are called to be confident in his word. Romans 8:24-25. Flip to it. That was mean. I didn't mean to be mean. Sorry, guys. 24:25. For in this hope we were saved. By having confidence, I know that God sent his son to die for me. Did I see it? No. Do I see God working? Yes. I have confidence knowing that Jesus died for a bad Jeffrey, for the hooligan, the knucklehead, right? In this hope, we were saved. I'm going back to hope. It's still confidence, but hope. Now, hope that is seen is not hope. I don't have to have a fairy tale-like feeling, right? When I see it working, it goes from a fairy tale-like feeling that something desired may happen, and that hope turns into something that is not hope, confidence. Right? I no longer have the fairy tale feeling, but now I have confidence knowing I know what he did, I know what he did, I know what he did, and I know what he's going to do. For who hopes for what he sees? I don't have a fairy tale feeling, right? I see it. I know it. It's going to happen. Womp womp. But if we hope for what we do not see, we will wait for it with patience. What does it take to wait for something with patience? Confidence. I need confidence to be able to sit there, to not be anxious, to not overthink things. I need confidence. I don't know if you've ever tried to wait patiently for something when you're overthinking and you're anxious and you're terrified and you're scared. But to wait for something with patience, a fairy tale-like feeling that something desired may happen. I'm really using Urban Dictionary today. That's not going to work. I can't wait for something with patience that way. Right? I have to have confidence. I know who God is. I know what God did. I know what Jesus did. I know he's alive. And I can sit and wait. And I know the purpose. And I have confidence in the purpose. I know the plan. And I have confidence in the plan. And I know his presence is right here. And I don't care what happens, I don't care where I go, because I have an all-knowing God fully standing right here, not distracted, ready to work. And all I have to do is say, okay, let's go. Oh, we're over here now. Sounds good. That's all I have to do. So as the musicians come up and start playing, I have questions for you guys. 3 questions. Do you see the mountain full of horses and chariots of fire all around? If you weren't here last week, you might be like, what is he talking about? In 2 Kings, right? The servant was scared. He looked and he saw people coming, right? He looked and he was terrified for what was about to happen. And they said, Lord, let him see. Elisha prayed, Lord, let him see. Open his eyes. And he opened his eyes. And what did he gain? Confidence. He saw God and he gained confidence. So do you have confidence? Not just can you walk around with your chest up. Yeah, that'll do. Right? But do you have confidence knowing what God is doing in your life? And do you have confidence knowing what God is going to do right there? When it's, your hope is gone. I don't know what I'm going to do. Good thing I don't get paid for thinking, right? My hope is gone. Nope, I have confidence knowing that God is right here. God's right there. It's crazy, right? And I have confidence in that. How are you currently sharing or showing your hope? How are you currently sharing or showing your confidence? Is it by enduring? Is it by sulking in your suffering? Or are you letting your endurance produce character? And are you letting your character produce hope? And is it so evident that when you walk around that you are overflowing with love, joy, peace, patience, and you can sit there with confidence and you're not overthinking, you're not anxious? I can sit there with confidence. And the last question, how can hope change our community around us? What would it look like if however many people are here today walked out of here and they had 100% confidence that God is in their life, that God has changed their life, and that God's going to do it again? What would that look like? I can promise you it wouldn't just stay right here in Dickinson. It wouldn't just stay here in Galveston County. It wouldn't stay here in Harris County, Galveston County, greater Houston area, whatever. Right? It's going to spread. How does our community change if we can walk around knowing what God has done and the confidence we have in His purpose, His plan, and His presence? So they're going to play a song. And if you do not have the hope or the confidence of what God has done in your life, come up here and pray. Come pray with me. Corey will be up here. If your fruits aren't evident, right? People can't see the confidence. You're not 100% bought in. Come up here, put your face in the carpet, as Corey likes to say, and pray. So ask yourself, think about it, pray about it. If you need prayer, me and Corey will be up here, or you can just put your face in the carpet. So everybody stand up, we're going to sing a song.